The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, I'm joined by Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC. We'll talk tractors in a moment, but you were listening with interest to what the Minister for Transport, Dara O'Brien, had to say. I mean, I think with one bound, our hero was free, out of housing, into something less controversial.
Yeah, well, there you go. And is housing fixed? Remind me. Look, we shouldn't be too flippant, I guess, because some of the projects that are on are large projects and they do require investment and planning. But we were updated on a couple of things. One is we're not going to hit EV targets. Now, we did know that. The Green Party back in the day had set a ludicrously ambitious target for electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. I've no problem with an ambitious target, but you need to put the mechanisms in place that give you some chance of getting to it. And we haven't been doing enough.
And we also saw an erosion of the elimination of fossil-fueled vehicles. They can live longer. And therefore, if you're buying a car, you want to know it has some value in the second-hand market. And really, for the foreseeable, diesel and petrol cars will have a value.
Yeah, and they will have a long tail and they'll be part of the mix for a long time. But still, sell EVs, and governments have to support that. Manufacturers, particularly European manufacturers, have to make them cheaper. The Chinese are ahead of us there, and governments need to subsidise them. He did hint at a scrappage scheme, which people have been talking about for a long time. I would love to see that brought about. I think that has great potential. So we will get there with EVs, in a sense, almost despite local government policy, because they're going to be the future for the car manufacturing
industry. It's the manufacturers who are going to lead this. Do you remember when we had the change in the road tax situation, where they said if you've got a low emissions car, you pay lower road tax?
Yeah.
But of course, what happened is all the manufacturers started to produce low emission cars and we lost massive tax revenue.
So that was a win of sorts. But the government at the time, this is going back 20 years, they didn't future proof their new system. What they should have done, could have done, is create a system whereby the car is always ranked based on its peers of that year. But you got to a situation where, you know, a brand new BMW or Mercedes was so clean in burning its diesel that it was paying less road tax than a 15-year-old car that somebody was holding together with hope and a few bob. And that just didn't seem fair, but it did work from a climate point of view, because the emissions on new cars came cascading down, which is, you know, what
but
we wanted
to
achieve.
As I say, it was driven by the manufacturers, not really by the government trying to persuade people to spend a lot of money on a low emission car.
Well, government at European level really can push. And local level here, what we can do is things like scrappage schemes and tax incentives. We do a little bit, but not enough. An electric car is now quite expensive, quite punchy, and you need to be in a slightly privileged position to choose one. And that's not what you want. You want the economic choice to be EV.
Well, of course, the big breakthrough will be when they produce batteries that are cheaper, and there are loads of people experimenting with battery technologies.
We're getting there, Pat,
I mean, you can buy an electric car in the mid-20s now, I think.
You can, and you're also getting extended range. I mean, Nissan have, I haven't seen it proved, but they've been touting that they have a battery that'll give you 1,000 kilometres on a charge. And can you imagine if you can buy an EV for €30,000 that gives you 1,000 kilometres on a charge?
And you're charging
problem
it at
solved.
Home.
Yeah, problem solved.
Okay, now the other disappointment, I suppose, is the contactless payment system on public transport.
Yeah, €150 million is the expected cost, and the cost, just goes up and up. And the thing that I think people will look at and their hearts will just sink, at least 3 years before we see it. And the leap card will need to be phased out.
And people are
out.
Using their phones everywhere to buy a newspaper, to buy a coffee.
Why so complicated? And I recall, Pat, it took 20 years to phase the leap card in, let alone phase it out, because of the obsession with having to make it the best possible system. I remember 30 years ago, I was in Copenhagen. Their system at the time on paper tickets on a bus was the time was stamped on the ticket and it was valid for an hour. And I thought, what a great idea. Just put the time on the ticket. It's valid for an hour anywhere. But what that escalated into was a row of revenue share between Dart and Bus. And then it had to be this system. And then it had to be that system. And it turned into, eventually, 20 years later, we got the Leap card. Colossally engineered, hugely expensive, quite good, to be fair. But we spent 20 years doing nothing, waiting for it.
You see, this is the issue, because of the fare structure. You have to log on and log off. It's not just one charge, like a €2, whatever, depending on how far you're going. So There's an issue. And can you do that with your phone?
And why so complicated? Why so complicated? Why can't you just charge the euro, which would charge €2 to the user, and sod the allocation of revenue between this bus route and that bus route? Figure all of that out. That's not the user's problem. I mean, virtually every business in the private sector switched to contactless instantly. During the pandemic, it was done overnight. And now we discover that to do it on our public transport is going to be at least €150 million and at least 3 years. And you look, I've seen large IT projects, direct experience in my corporate life, board experience elsewhere. I'm not pretending it's easy that they can do it tomorrow, but in the name of God, it has to be faster than this. Too big, too over-engineered, too perfect, and most of all, too slow with all of these projects.
Speaking of slowness, you're on the motorway, there's a tractor on the inside lane, and it's trundling along at 50 kilometres where you could be doing 120. What is the story about tractors on the public road?
Yeah, and you see a lot of them at this time of year. It says silage season, etc. So the rules on it, now good farmers are not the problem. You will see bad behaviour. But the rules on it is you cannot use a motorway unless your vehicle is capable of cruising at 50 km/h. For a tractor, you can do that. But rules, if you're towing a trailer, you can't use the outside lane. And if you've got an unusual load, a wide load or a heavy load, something of that sort, you will need a permit to use the motorway. Those are good rules. Problem is, they're not always obeyed.
Mm, and we know the truckers are complaining about them because they can cause huge delays and therefore impatience and therefore bad driving.
Yeah, and it can make it a more dangerous circumstance. And look, the tractor deaths and tractor injuries are, they're not negligible, but they're not huge. The RSA did a good study a year or two ago based on 6 years of data, and about 22 or 23 people per year are injured in an accident on a public road involving an agricultural vehicle. So it's not nothing. It may not be our biggest road safety issue, but it's not nothing, particularly at this time of year. So the onus is on farmers to be responsible. And things like just clean the muck off the tractor wheels before you go, before you go out onto that road to do what you have to do. And again, there's rules about that, but we need good practice from people as well as
now, the question of who can drive a tractor on the public road. I mean, you can learn to drive a tractor on your farm.
Yes.
At the age of what?
Well, that's private land, so it's not governed by the rules of the road or the Road Traffic Act. So, the law is silent on that. But to get a license, you need to be 16 years of age minimum, and you can get a Category W license, and that will license you to use the tractor. And you can then take that tractor on the public road if you're fully insured to drive it on the public road, and a whole host of restrictions apply there. And so you will not see a 16-year-old driving a tractor on a public road.
In theory.
In theory, legally. Now, people will say by anecdote that they've seen it and that they've seen bad behaviour. And look, good farmers are not the problem. You've got the odd badly behaved cyclist. I'm sure you've the odd badly behaved farmer. But there are good rules there to govern that behaviour once they're enforced.
The other thing is, I wonder when these rules about tractor driving and so on were instituted, because time was when a typical tractor would be about the size of a modern SUV.
Yeah.
Now, a modern tractor can be
absolutely
huge.
Enormous. More akin to the tractor unit of a HGV, where the driver could be sitting 2 metres above the ground, and the vehicle's footprint is absolutely colossal. So a tractor is a tractor is a tractor. You're picturing the old Zetter that was, pulling a trailer full of turf across the bog 40 years ago. And as you say, was smaller than a modern SUV, whereas you've got these enormous John Deere units that could be £250,000 worth of kit and on a colossal footprint on the road. And, in theory, if properly insured, you could have a 16-year-old driving it. Training, proper insurance, maybe that's not
and
a problem.
And we've seen, observing tractor drivers of all ages with the mobile phone on in front of them, because they feel impervious. They're going slowly, maximum 50 kilometres on the public road. They're up high. If anyone hits them, they won't come to harm.
Yeah, and inevitably, psychologically, you're not going to be as nervous then as if you're the person on the push bike cycling alongside them. So that sort of imbalance is definitely there. And look, tractors, no more than any other piece of machinery, they are inherently dangerous. These are very, very dangerous pieces of equipment that can only be used correctly and with training. But like everybody else, like the ordinary car driver, we forget that every single day of the week. We're listening to Pat Kenny on the radio and we pick up the phone because, you know, somebody has sent us a witty picture of a cat, and you forget how dangerous your circumstance is.
Conor Fognan, transport commentator, consultant to the RIAC. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.